articles because I wonder if they had newspapers back in the seventh generation after Adam. Because, well, you know what? You know, a lot of people think that back in the day they were all Neanderthals and we just progressively gotten better. I don't think so. I don't think the Bible leads in that direction at all. As a matter of fact, I think maybe the most productive work day in the history of the world was day one when Adam was created and he named every single animal in that first day. We go on and we read of how they knew how to cultivate a garden, an orchard, and animals, the land. By chapter 4, his children were understanding how to raise farm and tend to sheep. And before we leave that chapter, their children and grandchildren were working with tools, playing musical instruments. No, they weren't Neanderthals. So maybe they did have something like a newspaper, but regardless, if they did have one, I know that in the seventh generation after Adam, on one of those days, it would have been extra, extra, read all about it, Enoch is missing. And maybe they would have done some interviews with his father and his son. Do you know that his father and his son were pretty famous in themselves because his son's name was Methuselah, who lived 969 years, who was the oldest person that is recorded to have been living. But the second oldest person to have living would have been his father, 962 years, and his name was Jared. And then he had a grandson that was mentioned there. His name is Lamech. And maybe they interviewed him and they said, and Methuselah said, I got news that dad wasn't there, wasn't at his house. So me and grandpa went over to the place. We looked everywhere. He's not anywhere to be found. Lamech was interviewed and he said, grandpa was a great guy. one thing that I knew about him was that he walked with God and that he pleased God. Well, you know, the Bible gives us a lot of doctrine. It's really, really important. But do you ever notice that God gives us a lot of stories about people? And we have those stories about people to point us towards those doctrines, those truths, so that we can understand them a little bit more. It's kind of nice to put flesh on what God's teaching us about things. And so this morning or this evening, we're going to talk a little bit about Enoch. So if you would open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 5. And I kind of give this chapter the title, And Then They Died. Kind of look with me and notice that. In verse 6, so all the days of Seth were 912 years, and then he died. Verse 14, so all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and then he died. Verse 17, so all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Verse 20, so the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Then we can keep on going, but that's where we pick up with Enoch. Verse 21. Says Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. If you want to turn back to Hebrews chapter 11, you can, and you don't have to. It's just one verse we're going to be looking at there as it speaks of Enoch. And it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Those are the verses that are about him. I want us to talk a little bit about him, and I'm going to use six C words. Six C words. We're going to just talk about three of them tonight, and another time we'll look at the last three. But before we do, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. And Carl, do you mind opening a prayer for us? Amen. All right, let's talk about the first word is communion. Enoch was characterized by communion with God. I guess the one phrase that is in Genesis chapter 5 that really jumps out at it is that Enoch walked with God. And in a sense, we get that same thing in Hebrews chapter 11, and maybe your version of the Bible says that, but we'll get into that in a little bit. He walked with God. Now, as we get into this, I want to say something that maybe you have a different opinion than I do, and that's fine. We all just need to get into scriptures and find our answers to various things. But when I look at that phrase, walked with God, sometimes people think that it is a theophany. Somebody tell me what a theophany is? It's when God or Christ comes down on earth in the Old Testament and he showed himself before he came to earth as the baby and that sort of thing. Some people look and they say, you know, this, he walked with God. There was, you get pictures, you know, that there's God walking and then there's Enoch walking right alongside of him. And there they are walking down the road. And the old joke was they were walking one day and God turned to Enoch and said, you know, my house is closer than your house. Let's just go over to mine now. You know, it's sweet little things. However, I'm not convinced that's the case. I'm not convinced that's the case. You may have different opinion in regards to that. I'm not convinced that's the case for two reasons. Reason number one, in Hebrews chapter 11, it says that his walk was by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not. So if he saw God walking there alongside of him, that wouldn't necessarily be faith. That's just one thing that I look at. The other thing is that it's interesting. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says he had this testimony that he pleased God. That's an interesting phrase, the word that is there. As a matter of fact, if you go into the Septuagint, somebody know what the Septuagint is? Okay, so you take the Old Testament. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew and Aramaic, but mostly Hebrew. And there it was written. And then in the times where Christ was at, and, you know, a little bit before that, when the Greek culture came around, they translated it into Greek. 70 guys did it. That's why it's called the Septuagint. And so when they wrote it, they translated the word in for walk with God as the exact same word that is in Hebrews 11 that says pleased God. Interesting. So I look at it and I come to the conclusion, I don't think that he was walking with a manifestation of God. Could have been. Because, I mean, the word there in the Hebrew word is walk. I mean, it's walk. It's literally what it is there. Well, anyhow, if it's not that, then what is it? If it's not a physical walk, then it must have been a spiritual walk that he was having with God, that he had that testimony that he walked with God, verse 20 or verse 22. He walked with God, verse 24. let me read what somebody said in regards to that. One of the most amazing things in the Bible is that God tells us that he offers us a relationship with him, one where we were adopted into his family, one where we have fellowship with him, which brings full joy, one where we will have unfettered fellowship with him, Revelation chapter 3, verse 4. But until then, our connection is afforded through the sacrifices of Christ and requires us to have a fellowship with him. Well, I think that's what it's talking about, especially when we look into the New Testament, we see various places where it says that we're supposed to walk with God. If you live in the Spirit, then you're supposed to walk in the Spirit. The one passage that jumps to my mind right away when I think of that is 1 John chapter 1. And I don't want to jump on Carl's, because Carl, when he starts to do Wednesday evenings, he's gonna do, yeah. 1 John. So 1 John chapter 1, it's got some interesting things there. Let me bring up just a couple of those. verse 4, it says, these things we write so that our joy may be complete, so that our joy may be full. John, when he wrote the Gospel of John, said the same thing. I've written these things so that your joy may be full. And how do we have that full joy? Well, verse 3, we have seen and heard and proclaimed to you as also, so that you too may have fellowship with us, as indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Koinonia, a fellowship, a partnership. It is something that is a spiritual walk, I kind of look at, that we have with God. It's interesting, 1 John. It's got this thing. It's saying, "I'm writing this so that your joy may be full." That is when you have fellowship with God, and it's talking about all this great joy that we have together. And then all of a sudden, it jumps into, "If you walk in the light, as He's in the light, you have fellowship with God." And all these, but if you walk in darkness, and then it says, "If you say that you don't sin, but you do." Or if you say that you don't sin, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And then it says it again, if you say that you have no sin, then you're a liar. So it's got these things of walking with God, and also with the idea of walking in the light and walking with God, walking in the light, and the idea of sin and forgiveness of sin and all these sort of things. And I guess one of the things that we can ask ourselves is, how do those two things tie together? You may come up with a whole different conclusion than I do. But I've thought about that quite a bit. How is that fitting in together? And the truth is that when you walk in the light, when you're walking close to God, you're fellowshipping with Him, and you walk in the light as He is in the light, what are you going to see when you're in the light of God? Well, when Peter recognized that Jesus was God, he fell on his face and says, "Woe is me. Get away from me, because I'm dirty, I'm a sinner." Isaiah, when God shown himself to him in Isaiah chapter 6, he said, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I'm undone," and all these different things. When we walk in the light and we have fellowship with God, we see our sins. And if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to cleanse us from all sins. And then when we walk in the light a little bit more and get a little closer, then we see even more sins. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that God has afforded to us fellowship. God has afforded to us through Christ, and every single Christian has the opportunity of this fellowship, of this walking in the light, of this walking with God sort of thing. But one of the signs that we are doing it is if we're seeing our sins and confessing them. Enoch, I think, did that. As a matter of fact, one of the C's is going to be cleanliness. And as Carl says, you'll forget it by the time I get to that seed next time. God has afforded this fellowship. Do you ever stop and think about that? We have the opportunity to spend time with the God of the universe and fellowship with Him. But do you know that a lot of times we don't do it? I've tried to teach this to kids. I was telling Valerie that I have spent as much time with kids as I have with adults. For over 15 to 19 years, I was the children's church director of our church. One time I was 17, all the way to the time I was in my early 30s, I was doing that. After that, I became the administrator of a Christian school. And so I was with kids, and I taught them chapel all the time. And one of the things that I tried to get across on their level was trying to get them to spend time with God. Spend time with God. And so I made this little skit, and I had somebody off to the side with a microphone or in another room with a microphone pretending as if they're the voice of God. And so I would go through a day in the life of a person. And I'd start off, and I'd have a little cot that was there, and I'd be laying on the cot, and I'd get up in the morning, and I'd go, "Oh, oh, I better go to the bathroom, and I go to the bathroom, and then I go, I got to eat breakfast, and I'm going doing all these things in the morning, and God's voice is there, good morning, Keith, it's good to see you, this is the day that I've made, we're going to fellowship with one another today, this is it, and I'm going through all the things, and not until I sit down for the breakfast, and I've got my first gulp in my mouth, do I go, oh, morning, God, thanks for the food. Then, oh, I've got to rush off. And, you know, if you're an adult, yeah, I've got to rush off to work, or I've got to do this or that. If you're a kid, I've got to go off to school, and you're going through all the different things, running through life and all those, and all that time, God's voice is saying, hey, Keith, I'm here. I want to spend some time with you. And not until I'm at lunch and I take my first bite of my sandwich, and then all of a sudden, oh, thanks God for the food. Do the same thing for the evening. Turn on TV, go out and play with my friends, do all these different things. Everything's going on. When we stop and think about it, we were created for fellowship with God. Yet we don't spend too much time doing it. I think of Jacob. You know, he ran away from his family because his brother was probably going to kill him. And he probably deserved being killed. He runs away, and that first night gets dark, so he lays down, has a rock as a pillow, and the Bible says he has this vision or this dream from God. And you remember what the dream was? It was a ladder going from heaven, and there's angels going up and down, and then the voice of God speaks to him, and he gives him the same promise that he gave to his grandfather Abraham and to his father Isaac, that I'm going to, through you all the earth is going to be blessed, and I'm going to make of you a great nation. And what he did at that point was he woke up in the morning and said, surely the Lord was here. And so he built built an altar, and he changed the name of the city from Luz, I think it was, to Bethel. By the way, you know what Bethel means, right? Beth means house. El means God. House of God. So if you see a church named Bethel, well, that's kind of an appropriate name for a church. And so he says, I'm going to name this place Bethel, and I'm going to make a promise to you, God, that if you do all those things that you said for me and you're going to be my God, I will be your people, sort of. I'm going to be your child, and I'm going to be there with you, and we're going to be partners together. Well, he runs off. He finds God blesses him and gives him a wife, and he gives him a second wife and all these different things that are going on there. He blesses him with cattle and riches and all these different things. And all that time, do you know how much God is mentioned in there? Not much. There's that time where he wrestles with God as he's leaving, going back, but that's even after this point. God kind of has to stop him in his tracks, and he says to him, I want you to go back to Bethel, and I want you to dwell there. The word meaning to live there, to feel comfortable, make it homish. Make it so we have time together. And he went. And he got there. And you know, he changed the name. Little obscure thing. You know, he changed the name of Bethel. Do you know what it was? El Bethel. The God of the house of God. I guess that brings us to a question for ourselves now. How are we doing with our communion with God? God has afforded to us through Jesus Christ fellowship where we can walk with him, have a spiritual walk with him. Do you take him up on it? Or is he saying, good morning, good morning, good morning? And you're off to your own things. Well, this first word. We may only get one other one in. Let's see. Oop. That ain't it. Can we go backwards one? There you go. Change. Enoch was characterized by change. Back to Genesis chapter 5. A lot of times when we think about Enoch, we think this. he walked with God his entire life. You kind of think that? Did you know that for the first 65 years of his life, he didn't? It wasn't until after his son Methuselah was born that he began walking with God. Now, I don't know what the circumstances were. I don't know what changed in his life or whatever that happened right there. But it was a change. It definitely was a change. And I normally wouldn't bring something like that up. But there's not a whole lot said about him, but God emphasizes that. Do you see that? Verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God for 300 years more. The first 65 years he didn't. But at some point in his life, he changed. He changed. We talked about this several weeks ago, and let me just mention that again, because do you know that one of the important qualities or character traits of a Christian is that we should always be changing? We should always be changing. Some of you are a little older. I know there's that phrase, you can't teach an old dog. What is that, new tricks? That did not come from the Bible. That did not come from the Bible. The Bible tells us we're supposed to be changing. Do you mind pushing the button there, Bill? There we go. But we all with unveiled face behold as a mirror the glory of the Lord are being transformed or changed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we know that one. For all things work together for good, for those who are called, for those who love God, for those who are called according to his purposes. But we don't talk about verse 29 too much. For whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the very last verse that Peter writes to those people in Asia Minor, he says this, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. From glory to glory. Well, what is that? Glory is when you became a believer. From the moment you become a believer until you go to glory. Are any of us there yet? No, we could just turn on the news. We're not in glory yet. From glory to glory, we are changing. And we're supposed to be changing. We're supposed to be looking more like Jesus every day. Every day. Enoch gives us an example of that. And it isn't, you know, I talked enough about that a few weeks ago of how we're supposed to change. And that is a character trait of a Christian. But here's this one. We need to have changed into a point where we're walking with God. And we need to be spending more and more time with him as the days go on. You know, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to spend more time with believers. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Especially as the day is approaching, right? So the closer we're getting to heaven, the more we should be spending time together with other believers because, well, we need that. Well, if we need each other, can you imagine how much we need God? We need to be growing in our walk with God, and that should be changing and getting better and better as the days go along. Change. I'll throw in one more. We'll still have 20 minutes maybe left to pray. Consistency. Consistency. You notice that it says that he walked with God for how many years? 300 years. Do you think in those times that Enoch had some days or some periods of his time where he had other things that were going to be preoccupying his mind and would try to distract him from walking with God? Do you think there were times when he had difficulties in his life to where it was going to be hard to walk with God? Yeah, I think so. But it says he did it for 300 years. When I think of that, I think of Hebrews again, but not chapter 11. I think of chapter 12. I may have it on the screen, but I'm not sure, so we'll do it this way. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Famous verse we probably know very well. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That word run is in the present tense. It means to run and run and run and run and run. Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses. You know, when I was growing up, I think the idea that I got, I was just perceiving it wrong from what people are saying, was that those who are in heaven and all of these great cloud of witnesses are looking down at us. Did you know that is not what that's talking about? It's saying that we're looking up at them. I mean, we've just went through chapter 11 where it says this person did this, and that by faith this person did that, and that person did that. We're supposed to be looking at them, and one of those guys is Enoch. And as we look at him, this idea of running with endurance and consistency. I grew up and spent most of my life in the wonderful state of Indiana. The flattest land you'll ever see. But that was my home. And one of the things that Indiana is famous for, and probably you all have even heard of it, was the Indianapolis 500, yeah. And I've been there with my kids and with my parents and with all sorts of people in my life many, many times before. And I've gone through the museum that is there, and I've gone on the bus tour that drives around the track. That track is 2.5 miles long, going around the whole thing. I want you to picture a long track like that. And on that track are Christians running the race. Let us run with endurance. Get on there and you're supposed to go. Keep on moving. But outside of that track are stands that go everywhere, and inside of the track is just this giant field where people literally camp for a week there before the Indianapolis 500. My sister is one of those people who have camped in the middle of that, and they've done all of those, cookouts and tailgates. Yeah, tailgate things that they did back there, and it just had, they spent a lot of time enjoying that sort of thing. And I want you to picture chairs all over the inside of that. And the thing is that as you're going along, you're sitting in this, and you're going along, and you look and you see, if you're to look from a bird's eye view, if you're to look at the Christians of all 2022, how many do you think you would see sitting and not running? Let us run the race with endurance that is set before us. The Christian life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's not measured in days and weeks and months, it's measured in decades. And in the case of Enoch, 300 years. And I can imagine as you take your time and you're like, oh, I'm struggling now. I'm not going to be walking with God for a while. I'm just going to kind of sit down for a little while. And you look and you see, there's that old guy, 250 years old. He's still running around that thing. Well, how about you? I know. I know things come. Trust me, I understand that. I know difficulties come our way. I know that there are times when it's hard. I know that there are times when you're tired. I know that there's times when you feel as if you're just spinning your wheels. Maybe you've taken some time and you said, yeah, I'm just going to sit for a while. Let me encourage you with Enoch. Look up, See that great cloud of witnesses? Get up and get going. Get out of your seat. Well, that's all I have time for tonight. We got three more C's that we'll do another time. But for this evening, we will leave it at that.